We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And I want to try to reach out this morning and help somebody. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Amen. And it says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Praise God. For by grace, everybody said by grace, for by grace are you saved. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot do anything to save ourselves because the penalty of sin is death. And the Bible says all have sinned. And so all of us have the penalty of death upon us. And we cannot save ourselves by our own death. We are dependent upon this morning the grace of God. We are dependent upon God to help us, to save us. But there is something that grace comes through. Praise the Lord. Comes from God. And it comes to us, but it comes through something. And it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Through faith. Amen. And I want to talk about grace through faith this morning. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you for the truth this morning. We ask you to anoint the Word of God to speak to our hearts. Touch us today. We give you honor, praise, and thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. If you promise that you'll help me here today. All right. Praise the Lord. I need all the help that I can get. Amen. In the scripture that we read here this morning, we can understand a little bit here about the grace of God, that we are saved by the grace of God. The grace of God speaks of mercy. The grace of God speaks of love and compassion. And, of course, that mercy and love and compassion came and brought us salvation. Amen. All of which are unmerited and undeserved. Amen. We don't deserve this. We don't merit this by anything that we could do as far as works are concerned. But grace is something that has been misunderstood at times and is largely misunderstood in our generation today. And grace has become, in many places, a license to sin. A license just to live any way that we want to live and do whatever it is that we want to do, and that somehow or another God has elevated us to a place where we can just do whatever we want to do, but the blessings of God are going to continue to flow. The blessings of God are going to continue to move in our lives, which is really an error when we look at the Word of God. And I want to look at the Word of God this morning, and I want to look at this subject here today from the Scripture. We cannot abandon all obligations to righteousness, amen, simply because we believe in the grace of God. Amen. There are still rights and wrongs, and there are still penalties for the right and the wrong, or for the wrong, rather, and blessings from that which is right. Amen. And so when we look here in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he is writing about salvation. If we go to Ephesians 2 and start with verse 1, I believe in getting it in the right and proper context in the Word here. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's for those who are unsaved, which would be for all of us here this morning. And it says, "He has quickened us." Amen. And that quickened is that born-again experience that we had. Amen. Where we were in the flesh. Jesus said in John 3, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. And so in order for us to come from flesh to spirit, there must be a quickening. Amen. There must be a quickening. And the only way that can happen is through the power of the resurrection. Amen. The Spirit that raised up Christ, the Spirit that quickened him. The Scripture says, if the Spirit that raised up Christ be in you, that same Spirit will quicken this mortal body, and we will be changed, and we will go to be with the Lord for eternity. Praise God. And so, ye who were quickened, we were born again, we came to God in the flesh, and we were quickened, and we have become spirit. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye had your conversation, or he said, we had our conversation, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, doesn't that sound good? For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then the scripture that we read this morning, verse 8 and 9. So Paul is talking about salvation here, and he is writing to these Gentiles. Ephesians, the people that lived in Ephesus, were not Jews, they were Gentiles. And he writes to them and tells them of their great salvation. Amen. He wanted to express to them and express to you and I this morning that as Gentiles, we were not a part of the commonwealth of God. Salvation was for the Jew, and the Jewish people were the people of God in the Old Testament. And because they rejected God and turned from God, God turned toward the Gentiles. It was a plan that was in the very beginning with Abraham, where God said to Abraham, he said, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so it was a prophecy, a prophetic utterance, that God would not only stay with the Jew, but he would open it up to the Gentile as well. And I'm thankful for that this morning, because we're Gentiles here today. We're the wild branch. Amen. We're those that did not follow after righteousness. We did not care about the Word of God. We were the children of wrath. If you look in the Old Testament, it would be typified by the Philistines. And all through the Old Testament, you get tired of reading about it almost. It says, and the Philistines rose up against Israel. And then they beat them back, and then after a chapter or two, and the Philistines rose up against Israel. And then they beat them back, and then the Philistines rose. It was all through the scripture that the Philistines rose up. They're just fighters. Amen. From the seed of Ishmael, he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. He just goes from one Friday night fight to another Friday night fight. Amen. Just looking for another good fight. Amen. Go to a fight and a hockey game breaks out, and that sort of thing. That's the Gentiles. That's who we are. Amen. And I know we're all looking really good here this morning, but you take away the grace of God and none of us would be here. We'd be out there doing those things. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's the truth here this morning. And so he writes to these Gentiles here in chapter 2 of this salvation. We who were far from God, those of us who were far from the covenants of God, have been made to draw nigh or to come near. Amen. And he tells them and tells us that we have nothing to boast of, and the only thing we have to boast of is God who has saved us. Amen. If you want to live for God successfully your whole life, just make it about God. Amen. Don't make it about somebody else that's in the church. Don't make it about what you're doing or what you're not doing. Just make it about God. I'm living for God. I'm doing this because of God, because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God. I'm here because of Him. I'm not here because of Pastor Wirth or because of Fred or Marlon or anybody else. Amen. I'm here because of God. I came to feel God. I came to worship God. I came to love God. Amen. Because He's the one that saved me and gave me all of this mercy and grace. Amen. And when we boast in Him, amen, then we come to an understanding of where we really stand. In the day of the Scriptures, the Gentiles were assaulted by the Jews. The Jews had a lot of problems, and they were their problem was pride. Their problem was iniquity. They had all of these stories about the healings of God. They had all these stories of the waters parting and going through the water. They had stories of the mountain that burned with fire. The law came through them. Oh, they had all these stories. And then they could go to the Gentiles and say, "What kind of stories do you have?" And the Gentiles would say, "We don't have any stories. God hasn't done any of that through us." And so they kind of straightened themselves up and said, "Well, we're going to be your teacher then. We're going to be the one that's going to be better than you, and we're going to look down our nose at you, and we're going to make it so that we have control over you." And the Jews would come, and they would go into the areas of the Gentiles, and they would tell them that they must follow after the law. Amen. In the scriptures, and I'm not really sure how this is all going or where this is going to go here this morning. I hope I'm spelling this right. Uncircumcised. I hope that's spelt right. You can take that word "un" off of there, and it would be circumcised. The Jew, when it came to Abraham, God spoke to Abraham and told him, "All of the males of your family have to be circumcised, and if they are not circumcised, they will be cut off." This was a physical example of what God was wanting to do and would do down the road with all men. Amen. And that includes the women as well. And so the Jews would come. They would come into the Gentiles area, and they would tell them, "You're not saved until you're circumcised." And these were people that had been baptized in Jesus' name. These are people that had received the Holy Ghost. They had begun to walk with God, and then somebody comes along and tells them, "You're not saved until you do this, 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 and this." But I'm telling you here this morning what we are obligated to do, and the only thing that we are obligated to do is the commandments of God. Amen. The circumcision was the cutting away of the flesh, And Jeremiah spoke of it, and he said there is a new day coming in which they will be circumcised in their heart. Amen. Where God would cut away the lust of the flesh from their heart. Amen. It would not be a physical thing that would be physically cut off of the body, but it would be something that would be done in the realm of the spirit. Amen. that in the realm of the Spirit, God would cut away things from our heart. In other words, it's not that I have to do this, it's because I want to do this. Amen. And that quickening that we read about this morning, that quickening is a part of that. Amen. Where we come to God and our heart is full of sin. Amen. Our heart is full of wickedness and all of that. And the Holy Ghost fills us and we're born again. And all of a sudden, we don't want to go to those places anymore. All of a sudden, we don't want to do those things anymore. All of a sudden, we are a changed individual, and we love God, and we're excited about going to the house of God. We're excited about giving to God. We're excited about living for God. Just excited about the change that God has brought in our life. Amen. That is the spiritual circumcision that the Old Testament circumcision represented. Amen. And so when Jesus came and died on the cross, he fulfilled the Old Testament. Amen. The ceremonial law of the Old Testament. We'll get into that in just a moment. He fulfilled that, and so now there is no commandment in the Scripture, in the New Testament, that commands us to be circumcised in order to be saved. Amen. Because the civil law of God has been done away with. Amen. The moral law of God has not been done away with, but the civil law of God has been done away with. And so Paul emphasizes in many places in the New Testament, in the epistles, that we are saved by grace. Amen. It really flew in the face of the Jews because the Jews had all of these laws that they had made up, actually, and laws that were not even in the Scripture, that were not even in the Word of God. And all of them had been fulfilled in Christ, and now there was a new and a better way, praise God. But they could not get a hold of that because it required that grace, the grace of God, come through something that they had a very difficult time with, and that was faith. They had a very difficult time with faith. Amen. Faith is exercised when we cannot see anything, amen. But works are a thing that you can see, that you can do, that you can accomplish in human power. You don't have to be spiritual to consent to being circumcised. You don't have to be spiritual to take your cups and your platters and wash them a certain way before you eat. You don't have to be spiritual to go through programs and rituals and things of that nature, which they constantly did to come to a place in their mind and their spirit that they were saved because they did these things. Amen. And they had a very difficult time with faith. And so Paul writes to them and says that you are saved by grace through faith. Amen. And so if we're to take grace this morning, I just wanted to use that as an example so we can take off on this here this morning. But if we're going to talk about the grace of God, amen, we need the grace of God. We need the grace of God. And here we are over here. We need the grace of God. And by the time it gets over there, we'll have a smile on our face, all right? And when that's where the grace of God needs to get to us. The grace of God, Paul said, it comes through faith. All right? The grace of God comes through faith. And so if we don't have faith, then there is a blockage here, and grace cannot come to us. But there is an avenue. There is a way. It is a bridge, if you please. And if we don't cross the bridge, we can't get across to the other side. And so grace comes to us through faith. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 17, and let's look at it this morning. And this is a not-so-quoted scripture, and in fact, it is probably avoided in many places because it brings it out so clearly, and it destroys this this notion that there is absolutely nothing we can do to gain the grace of God. I would say to you this morning that that is a fallacy. That is not the truth. Amen. Somebody said, I was listening to a radio program one time, and they were supposed preachers, and they were talking about the grace of God, and they said it is not of works. And so baptism, water baptism, the man said, absolutely is meaningless. It is not essential. It has no meaning to it whatsoever. It is totally, completely unnecessary for salvation. You don't have to be baptized. And in fact, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so there is a believing, or a faith that is required. It doesn't matter what Jesus says to some people. Amen. In another place, he said, go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In another place, he said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In the book of Acts, when there were conversions, they were always baptized, and it was not a public confession of an inward faith, because some of them were done at midnight and nobody was there but the person that was baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized in the desert and nobody was around to even witness it. Amen. And so it was not a public confession of an inward faith. And in fact, the scripture does not even say that anywhere. It's not in the Word of God. It's made up by somebody. Amen. And so faith here, James talks about faith. And James chapter 2 and verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Praise God. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And so there is an avenue, there is a bridge, if you please, that gets the grace of God to us. Amen. If we tear down the bridge and we don't have faith, then you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. He must ask in faith, believing. Amen. And if we don't believe, then he said that man should not expect to get anything because the bridge is broken down. You can't get grace to us unless we cross the bridge called faith. Amen. And James here, he gives us a very practical example. He talks about Abraham. And he says in verse 21, or actually verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, folks, I'm reading this out of the Bible. Amen. This is directly out of the Word of God. That faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And so a man could be justified without the law. There was no law in the day of Abraham. The law came by Moses. The law came many, many years later than Abraham. And so Abraham was justified without the law. Abraham was considered to be righteous because of works. Amen. Now, before you judge this here this morning, amen, understand that there are two kinds of works, amen, that the scripture talks about. The works of the law and the works of faith. Praise God. And if you can remember this, it'll help you to distinguish between the two. There is no way this morning that I could say, I'm going to go on a marathon walk. I'm too old to do a marathon. At least I think I am. And I'm not going to try that, so I'm going to do a marathon walk. I'm going to walk two blocks, all right? And I'm going to do it for my salvation. And I'm going to do it and say, I love God. This is I love God walk. And I'm going to walk two blocks, and when it's all said and done, I get to the last step of that two blocks, God's going to come down and save me. You know what? God's not going to come down and save me when I get to the end of that two blocks, because there is no place in the scripture that says I'm supposed to go on a God walk for salvation. Not in there. And so I can make up anything I want to make up. I can come up with all sorts of things. Amen. But when it's all said and done, there is no way that I can do anything to save myself. Not in my own mind and in my own spirit and in my own heart. I've got to come to a place where I recognize that I am lost without God and I need His salvation more than I need anything else in all of this world, and that I cannot save myself. Amen. But James says here that Abraham was justified, amen, that he was justified by faith. Praise God. Faith is the bridge that gets the grace of God to us. By grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Maybe I could say it's the tunnel. Amen. That we're going to go through faith. And on the other side, we're going to be saved by the grace of God coming to us. And so, what kind of works is he talking about here when he talks about Abraham? And in order to keep it in the proper context of the scripture, he uses Abraham as an example. Amen. He said Abraham was justified. He said, I believe God. Well, it's easy to say anything. I can say I love you, Fred, and just be mad as a wet hen. Amen. I can be just as I can hate you and on the inside say I love you. And there are people that are attempting today to try to live for God, and they say they love God, but they cannot get the victory because there's something on the inside that hasn't been taken care of. It's not the way of salvation just to verbally express. The Bible says that by the mouth speaks. Amen. And we confess the Lord Jesus Christ with our mouth unto salvation. It doesn't say that it is salvation, but it is unto salvation. Amen. It also talks about repentance unto salvation. Praise God. So it is repentance, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a sinner. I'm lost without God. I need Jesus Christ in my life to be saved. Amen. And that leads us unto salvation. Amen. We need salvation, which is the grace of God. But faith is not expressed only by what we say. It is expressed by what we say, but that's not all there is to it. Amen. If I really believe God, then I'm going to listen to what God has commanded me to do. And when I do it in faith, not out of necessity, amen, not because I'm constrained or somebody intimidates me to do it, amen, but because I have a genuine need in my life and I believe that Jesus is the only one that can meet that need, I'm going to confess that, but I'm also going to obey what he has commanded me to do. And in Abraham's situation, it was, go offer your son as a sacrifice. Praise the Lord. And so Abraham could have sat in his tent and said, I believe God. I believe God. I accept the Lord. I believe God. I believe God. And for days and weeks and months and years, he could have sat there. And after a period of time, Abraham would have said, you know what, I'm getting really frustrated with this relationship with God because God hasn't been around very long. God hasn't come and talked to me anymore. He's not here. You know why? Because God was waiting on him to do something. God was waiting on Abraham to follow through with the commandment. Praise God. He was waiting for Abraham to actually get up and take his son and go do what God had commanded him to do. Amen. He was not only listening to what Abraham said, he was watching to see what Abraham did. Amen. And why he did it. Praise God. And the word works here. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. The word works here means a deed or an act. Amen. And so, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. So faith here, if we're to take this and build on this a little bit here this morning, then we could look at faith like this. This is just my own personal analogy. Here's faith. Amen. Faith, if it has not works, is dead. And so faith is believing. Amen. I have to believe. But I have to do something with my beliefs. Because faith without works. If you eliminate works, you don't have the full faith. That's all you have. Amen. You just have half of your faith. And half of your faith is believing, and half of your faith is acting upon what you believe. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 9 talks about this. And it says in Romans 9 and verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, or why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Amen. Now let's look at this here this morning. Here we have faith, we have belief, and we have works. All right, so if we take works off, then we don't have complete faith, do we? But if we take belief off, then we don't have complete faith either. If all we have is works, if all we have is something that we have done and there's no follow-through, there's no obedience, there's no works of faith, amen, then we do not have complete faith. Faith must have belief and works in order to be complete faith in the eyes of God. And so he talks about the Gentiles here, and he says the Gentiles did not follow after righteousness. Everybody said righteousness. Amen. The Jews followed after the law of righteousness. Everybody said the law of righteousness. The law of righteousness. So one did not follow after righteousness. The other followed after the law of righteousness. And in the law, they were circumcised. In the law, they were told how to cook their food. In the law, they were told sanitary practices. In the law, the offering of sacrifices, all of these civil things, how they could dress, a border of blue on their clothes. All of these things were very important because they were a picture. They were the professor that leads us to Christ. They were a physical example of a spiritual truth. Amen. A physical example of a spiritual truth. And that became the civil law of God. And so the Jews wanted righteousness. They wanted the grace of God. They wanted God to get to them, but they did not have faith. And the reason was is because all they had was the works of the law, but they did not believe. Amen. When their Messiah came to them, they did not believe him because they could not operate in the realm of faith. They could only operate in the realm of works. Amen. I did this and this and this, and so that's good enough. And anybody else that comes along that's spiritual or has any other kind of ideas, they believe and they follow after this Messiah. In one place, they said to the man that was healed, they said, "Who was it that healed you?" He said, "I don't know who he was, but he told me to go wash, and I washed, and now I see. I was blind, and now I see." And they could not get a hold of that because it was not included in their law. Amen. Was not included in their religious system that they had. Amen. And so they asked the man. Then they asked his parents, "Is this your son? Who did this?" They said, "We don't know who did it, but all we know is that he's our son, and he was born blind." And then they called him in before the people, or before the rulers, the religious rulers, and the man, in his simplicity and ignorance, he said, "Why, this is a marvelous thing." He said, "This man has healed me. I was blind and now I see." And he said, "You don't even know who he is." And that riled them up so much. They said, "Well, who are you to teach us? You were altogether born in sin, and do you teach us?" And they cast him out of the synagogue. Amen. It upset them so much that some simple person could receive a miracle from God, and yet all they had was their rituals and their formalities and all of that. Folks, we cannot afford to go that way. Well, praise the Lord. We've got to walk by faith. Amen. We've got to have the works of faith, which is the obedience to the commandments of God. And you say, "Well, there are no commandments." I'm sorry, there are commandments. Amen. "Thou shalt not commit adultery" is still in effect. Amen. "Thou shalt not steal." "Thou shalt not kill." Amen. All of the moral laws of God still apply. If I could say it this way, there are abominations in the scripture. And an abomination, there are two types of abomination. You can study this out for yourself. But one is an abomination unto the Lord, and the other abomination is unto you. And when it is an abomination unto you, it would include the dietary laws of the Old Testament. That if you ate a catfish, it would be an abomination unto you. Amen. It would hurt you physically. It should be an abomination. Amen. Because in the Old Testament, it laid it out in many, many different things. This is clean. This is unclean. This is clean. This is unclean. And it was a physical example of what we need to be careful with in the New Testament, that we touch not the unclean thing, and that he will receive us. Amen. It is no longer valid that we can't eat pork. Thank the Lord. Amen. It is no longer a valid thing that we cannot eat catfish. Thank the Lord. or bullfrog legs or whatever it is that you like. Amen. Used to be an abomination unto you in the Old Testament. But that is a picture of sinful things in the New Testament that we need to say, I'm not gonna have that. Amen. There were a lot of things in the Old Testament they couldn't eat. And you know what, folks? In this generation and in every generation, there's just a lot of things we need not to handle. We don't need to let it into our home. Praise God. Amen. Because it is an abomination unto us. It will lead us to other things that are not of God. Well, praise the Lord. You can't just make decisions on your own without checking with God and without checking into the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. You just can't do that. I mean, you can, but it will lead you to other places. And so when it was an abomination unto you, it was the dietary laws, it was different laws of that nature. But in every case, and I challenge you to study this out for yourself, in every case in the Old Testament, when the Bible says this is an abomination unto the Lord, those laws have not changed. Because those are spiritual laws. Amen. Those are moral laws. Those are laws that deal with the morality, what is right, what is perverted, what is not perverted. Amen. And God has not changed His mind on these things. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, we're getting to a day today, a time in our generation, amen, where anybody can marry anybody and do anything they want to do. Amen. A woman can marry a woman. A man can marry a man. It's becoming a very popular thing nowadays with some. Amen. And we've actually had to adopt rules in our church. Amen. To protect ourselves. That the pastor will not marry anybody. Amen. That is not a member of our church. And the reason is we could be charged with discrimination. Amen. If we marry folks outside of the church, then a couple of men could come and say, you did it for them, you have to do it for us. And we could actually be sued by the law nowadays. And so we have to adopt ways to protect ourselves. Amen. But we're in a generation where anything goes. Amen. You can go out, you can call yourself a Christian, go out and get drunk. You can call yourself a Christian and you can lie and steal and cheat. Amen. But grace covers it all. Friend, grace does not cover it all. It is not a license to sin. Amen. And the things that were an abomination unto the Lord are still an abomination unto the Lord our God today. Praise the Lord. And so when we seek after God, we must seek it by faith. Grace comes through faith. Paul wrote about that. Amen. And I did some research into the scriptures here the other day, and I was writing scriptures down. I haven't finished that message yet. It talks about where grace comes from. Amen. The grace of God. Amen. The grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Calvary is what ushered the grace of God into this world. Amen. And then the grace of God that came through Jesus Christ has come to us through faith. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's exactly the way it is. There are some today, and I'm not going to spend any time on this, but there are some today that are stating that the grace of God comes through the ministry. And if the ministry does not give you grace, you're not going to get grace. I'm telling you today, that is not biblical. Because the Bible says that we are to be ministers of the gospel, not lords over God's heritage. I'm not a lord over God's heritage. But I'm telling you today that there are some that have perverted the grace of God in many different ways. Let's just look at it for what it really is. Amen. Abraham, go offer your son as a sacrifice. God, I believe you, and I'll get up early in the morning and go do that. Well, I got to think about this. Well, I'm not really sure. I'm not that committed. I'm not. I love you, God, but I'm just not really sure that I want to do that. I love you, God, but I just don't know about that particular commandment that's in the Word of God. Amen. And folks, there are commandments that are in the Word of God concerning all sorts of things. Amen. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's a commandment in the Word of God. Amen. Give unto God. That is in the Word of God, in the New Testament. Amen. And I cannot claim to be a person of faith if I don't have faith and works that goes together with it. Well, praise the Lord. Can't. I just can't do it. Amen. Because without works, faith is dead, being alone. Amen. And so there has to be action. There has to be a deed that is associated with that faith. Amen. With the commandments of God. Amen. And I'm making too many references to this morning, but Jesus said this: give and it shall be given unto you. That is a beautiful example of what I'm preaching about here this morning. Give and it shall be given unto you. He didn't say it shall be given to you if and then you can give on top of that. He didn't say that. He said give first. And so when we give to God first, amen, and we open up our hand, as I've already said this morning, and we do it in faith, not because I have to, but because I believe God, amen, then it becomes works of faith, because it is a commandment in the Word of God. It is something that is required of us. There are things that are required of us, amen, in living for God, amen. And faith without works is dead. He uses Abraham. He uses Rahab, the harlot. Amen. Who had faith in God, who was a woman of the night and far, far away from the commonwealth of God, far, far away from the law of righteousness. She was not obeying the law of righteousness. She was not even a Jew. Amen. She did not have anything that she could hold on to, except there was one thing she had: faith. Faith. She had faith. And you know what she did? She believed. She believed. She said, "We know that your God is the one true God. We know that." Amen. And you know what? I think there's a lot of Rahabs in our world today, spiritually speaking, that are out in the darkness and they say, "I believe that there is a God. I believe that God is real, that God loves people, and I know that I'm a sinner, but I just don't know what to do." It's like on the day of Pentecost when Peter was preaching and they came to the climax of the message and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They had faith in God. They believed and they were ready to do whatever the apostle told them to do. And he did not tell them to accept the Lord as their personal Savior. He did not tell them to believe, and that was it. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And I looked up that word "for" yesterday. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It is the result of the beginning. Amen. Baptized for the remission of sins. But there are those who preach heresy that say that word "for" means because of. That we are to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of the remission of sins. And that it is nothing but a public confession of something that has already happened in their life at repentance. Folks, I want to tell you, repentance is not remission. Amen. Repentance is a turning. We turn in repentance and we go toward God. Well, praise the Lord. That doesn't mean that we have made it to God, but we have turned ourselves and have gone in the right direction. Now what do I do? I must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. That's why we baptize in His name. Not because it is a work that we have come up with, but because it is Scripture. It is in the Word of God. We see it clearly in the Scriptures. There is only one way to baptize, and that is in the name. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Amen. Well, the preacher said I'm supposed to do this and that and the other. Let's go and see what the Word of God has to say. Amen. Because our faith must be focused on something that is going to be real. Amen. The preacher can deceive you. A man can deceive you. But I'm telling you what, if you have belief in your heart and you go to the Word of God, you're going to find it right in the Word of God. And if it's in the Word of God, there's not a word in there that will deceive you because it's from God. Amen. And in fact, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by... They needed the grace of God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But grace had not come to him yet. Amen. Grace did not come until the water began to fall. And when the water began to fall, the grace of God lifted up that ark. They were saved by water. But what else were they saved by? Amen. They were saved by works. If Noah would have said, God, I believe you, but that's just too much work. And that was a lot of work. Amen. I'm going to get to go see that thing. I want to go see that ark that fella built. 1.5 football fields long. Massive structure, several stories. All of those animals, all of that work. I'll tell you what, after the year was over with, I'm sure that Noah said, whew, I don't want to build anything else the rest of my life. That was a lot of work. That was a lot of work. Amen. Who knows what they all went through to build that thing. We saw the USS Constitution, the oldest naval ship in the world. And they built it. George Washington built that ship to let the British know that we were a force to be reckoned with. And so he ordered the ship to be built. And inside the ship, you have the outside wall of the ship, and it goes down and so forth. And then there's a deck. And wherever there's a deck, there was these big, huge things of wood like this. And it was a corner piece that held the next level. And the side, it held the boat together. It was a massive piece of wood. And it was all one piece of wood. And it came from oak trees that was down in New Jersey. And have you ever seen a tree that grows and then a limb grows off of the tree? That's what they used. They would take that limb that grew off, but it had to be a certain size. And in order to be the certain size, it had to be a tree that was at least 200 years old. And there were multiple ones of those beams inside the ship. Folks, I'm telling you, there was a lot of work that went into that ship. But they sunk one of the British ships, with it, and they said, we're a force to be reckoned with, and that thing is still there. It's awesome to see. It really is, the way they built it, the strength of it and all that, but it took a lot of effort. They had to go all the way to New Jersey and get the wood and who knows how many trees. And then they commissioned another 13 or 14 of those ships. And they built these things and they spent all this time and energy and effort and work. Amen. If Noah would have said, you know what, I believe God. If Noah would have, if he had just gotten one part of this, I believe God. I believe God. And when the rain's coming down, I believe God. I believe God. Yes, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. He could have said that while he was swimming. I believe. I believe God. But he would have perished. You know what? The Bible says Noah, being moved by fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Amen. Praise God. There is something that God wants us to do. Amen. And when you believe God and you're willing to get a hammer in your hand and you're willing to get a saw in your hand, you're willing to nail the boards together and go wherever you have to do to get the wood and the pitch and everything else that was involved in that and spend 120 years working on this thing. Well, yeah, I believe God, but you know, some things are just not that big of a deal. I'll tell you what, you got to be careful with that kind of an attitude. Amen. Because you say, well, we're in the dispensation of grace. Well, yeah, we was out yesterday and there was a lady in a car, and on her license plate, it was one of those license plates, and it said Sapphira. I said, oh, I wonder if her husband's name is Ananias. We better stay away from this car. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen here. Amen. But Ananias came in and all he said was, yes, we sold the land for so much. Peter said, you've lied to God. You're acting in a way that's very dangerous. I believe. I'm a part. I believe. Pat him on. That was a good message, Pastor Peter. Oh, that was a wonderful message on the day of Pentecost, Pastor Peter. I can't wait for James to preach. Oh, sat on the front row, said amen. Was a pillar in the church. But I'll tell you what, there was something that was drastically missing. He was living a lie when it came to what he actually did in his life. In his private life, what he did made a whole lot of difference to God. And folks, I'm not here this morning to try to scare us or anything, but I'm telling you what God did. God killed him right there on the spot. You read it in the book of Acts. It's New Testament. And then his wife came in a few hours later, and Peter said, did you sell the land for so much? She said, oh, yes, we sold it for so much. We love the church. We love you, Pastor. We love everything about the work of God. And Peter said, how is it that you have conspired together? And she fell dead. God killed her right on the spot. You know what? I don't have the luxury of just living my life any way that I want to. Yes, we fall. Yes, we can all say that we have sinned since we came to God. But I'm telling you what, we can't cover it up. Amen. We have to walk by faith because what I've got to have is the grace of God. Whoever covers his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. Praise the Lord. Confesses and forsakes. Now, it's not just in confession. Amen. There's been a lot of to-do about that, and it's been boiled down to that. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, there's a whole lot more to it than just saying, I love you. I could tell Fred, I love you, reach around and hug his neck and grab his wallet out. They call them confidence men. You got to be careful. You got to be careful on the phone. Amen. When people call you on the phone, amen. One man called me up on the phone here at the church, and he said, Yes, Pastor Wirth. Yes, this is Pastor Wirth. Yeah, my name is Joe, and I used to go to your church. And I said, Joe, are you in the Army? Yeah, I've been in the Army, but it didn't sound like the Joe that I knew. And so I'm up here in Kansas City, and man, he said, my car's broken down. I need $289.59 to fix this car. Is there any way that the church could help me out? And we talked back and forth and back, and something about it just didn't ring true. And so finally, after a while, I said, you know what? I don't think we're going to be able to help you. And I'm telling you, the words that started coming out of that man's mouth was not Christian at all. I'm glad that he was not a member of our church. Praise the Lord. No, I wished he was a member of our church. Amen. Without all of that. And you call yourself a man of God and this and that and the other, and hang up the phone. Well, the next day I was at the church and the phone rang. Hello, Pastor Wirth. Yes, my name is Joe. I used to go to your church, and I'm up here in Kansas City, and my car's broken down. And he forgot that he had called me the day before, and he was working the system, doing it all over again. And who knows how many other churches he's called. You know, folks, it's more than just words. It's more than just words. It's more than just saying, I love God. But there has to be a follow-through. And the follow-through must line up with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I can't make up something. Amen. Being a trustee is not going to get me to heaven. It might keep me from heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. Having a title on me, a name tag, pastor, that's not going to get me to heaven. Having a name tag, janitor, that's not going to get me to heaven. Sunday school teacher, that's not going to get me to heaven. Amen. The only thing that's going to get me to heaven is grace. Amen. What a beautiful word, grace. Amen. That's the only thing that's going to get me to heaven. But grace comes through faith. It's what Scripture says. And if we'll have faith in God and trust God and walk with God, walk with God. Amen. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. Don't make any major decisions in your life until you check in with God and check in with spiritual ministry in your life. Praise the Lord. Don't go around asking everybody for advice. Amen. Get it real focused. God, what do you want me to do? Amen. Because I don't want to do the wrong thing and displease you with my life. Can we stand together this morning? Amen. I could go on and on, but you're probably thankful that I'm not going to do that. Praise the Lord. But we've got to have an understanding of what it means to live for God. Praise the Lord. Folks, it's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough just to come to church. Amen. But I've got to put legs to my prayers. I've got to put hands to my faith. Amen. I've got to use my mouth. Praise God. And those that profess that all you have to do is confess with your mouth and that's all there is to it, that it's not of works, what is using your mouth then? It's something that you do. Oh, well, they've even boiled it down to where if you just think it in your mind, that's all there is to it. In your mind, I believe. I'm not doing anything about it. I'm not going to follow through with anything that I believe, but just in my mind. I had somebody tell me one time, prayer is just wishing for something to happen. Oh, and they say it all the time, we'll be praying for you. In other words, I'll just be wishing that everything will be all right for you. That's like saying to somebody that's naked, destitute of food, and saying, I'll be praying for you. I really wish that things will turn around for you. And that poor, hungry soul says, oh, thank you so much. No, that poor, hungry soul is going to say, hypocrite. you really don't care. You're just saying that. You're just making yourself feel good by saying, oh, we hope everything works out for you. Amen. Amen. Somebody called yesterday, day before yesterday. This is Sunday, isn't it? Amen. Day before yesterday. Yes, I'm being evicted from my house and I need some help. Could you help us? Amen. I said, you know what? I don't have a way to help you through the church, but I do have some money in my pocket and I'll help you. And they came to the church and I got my money out and I gave it to them and they went their way. And the lady had a list of people that had given to her and she said, I'm going to pay you back. I said, ma'am, you don't owe me anything. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But if I said, you know what? We'll pray for you. We're here to pray. We'll pray. No, there's times that we need help. Amen. And there's times that folks need help. Amen. I've got a burden for souls. That means I'm going to go to their house and teach them a Bible study. That means I'm going to give them a phone call and say, how are you doing? I've just been thinking about you. Praise the Lord. Going out of your way, putting legs to your prayers, putting legs to your faith in what you believe. Amen. Father, we need you this morning. We need the touch of your Spirit today. We're in desperate need of grace. Help us, Lord. Touch us today. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, to obey the commandments, to put obedience to the commandments with our faith, that grace would come to us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to challenge you this morning. I know we're already over time. But I want to challenge you this morning. Get your Bible out and look through your Bible and see where God did something for somebody. And find the places in the Word of God where God did something for somebody and they did not do anything at all. But I'll tell you, you'll find many, many places where they cried out, Jesus, have mercy on us. There was something that they did through faith. Amen. And then God moved in their behalf. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another scripture, a lady came to Jesus and said, Lord, I have need of healing. I have need of a healing in my family. And he said, I'm not sent to the Gentiles. This was a Gentile woman. I'm not sent to the Gentiles, but to the house of Israel. Oh, but Lord, she said, Lord, I really have a need in my life. She was speaking the words of faith, but she came to Jesus. She did something about it. He said, it's not good for me to take the children's meat or that which is for the Jews and give it to the dogs. And he literally called the woman a dog. And she said, yea, Lord, that's true, you're right. But don't the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table? Praise the Lord. If all she did was say, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, she would have left without her miracle. Amen. But God touched her, and God performed the miracle in her life because she wouldn't give up. Amen. Amen.